Welcome to a very special edition of Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Amgen, we had the pleasure of speaking with Alexander Drillin, MD, Research Director of Early Drug Development at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, to discuss KRAS-targeted treatment strategies in advanced non-small cell lung cancer. Approximately 10 to 15% of patients with non-small cell lung cancer harbor a KRAS G12C mutation, making it an important target in the space. A number of inhibitors had been evaluated in the past, but it was not until the 2019 ASCO annual meeting that the first breakthrough was reported with AMG-510. Preliminary results from the Phase 1 study showed that of 10 patients with previously treated KRAS G12C mutant non-small cell lung cancer, 5 achieved a partial response. At the 2019 World Conference on Lung Cancer, an expanded data set showed that among 23 evaluable patients, the objective response rate was 48%. 13 of these patients received the Phase 2 dose of 960 milligrams, and of these patients, 54% achieved a partial response. On September 9, 2019, the FDA granted a fast-track designation to the agent for the treatment of patients with previously treated KRAS G12C mutant metastatic non-small cell lung cancer based on these early trial results. In our exclusive interview, Drillin discussed some of the historical challenges of targeting KRAS and provided perspective on available and anticipated data with AMG-510 in non-small cell lung cancer. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Drillin, to discuss targeting KRAS in lung cancer, a historically difficult to target alteration. So could you discuss some of the historical challenge of studies aimed at targeting KRAS?
We've known that KRAS mutations drive lung cancers for a very long time now. In fact, these hotspots were discovered prior to the advent of sensitizing EGFR mutations and fusions involving ALK or ROS1, for example. And we've had a long history of trying to target this mutant protein with a variety of different targeted therapies. The problem is that previously there was a perception that there was a lack of a drug binding pocket outside of the particular nucleotide binding pocket of KRAS that binds to GTP. And in addition, the protein was very avid for GTP, making it hard to come up with GTP competitive inhibitors. And so if you look, there have been a variety of targeted therapies tested. I'll name a few, including the farnesyl transferase inhibitors that prevent localization of RAS to the membrane. Those didn't work out well. And then there were downstream inhibitors of the pathway, such as MEK inhibitors or ERK inhibitors, where you maybe saw isolated responses here and there, but not really a very high response rate and very durable disease control in a lot of patients.
So what distinguishes AMG-510 from those earlier agents?
Thankfully, we've recognized that KRAS mutations are really very heterogeneous. And more importantly, that some of these mutations produce proteins that may be more unique compared to other KRAS mutant proteins. In particular, the KRAS G12C mutation produces a mutant oncoprotein that's different from other mutant oncoproteins such as G12D or those produced by G13 substitutions. In particular, the C, or the cysteine, that's substituted for the glycine has this thiol group that serves as a residue that can be targeted with covalent inhibitors. And to put that in simpler terms, we now have these very selective drugs that directly inhibit only KRAS G12C. And that represents the scientific advance over the earlier strategies that either tried to just in a general fashion target KRAS or downstream signaling. And so we have a novel strategy for hitting the protein in the specific mutant state. And AMG-510 is one of these molecules. I'll note that there are a variety of other molecules that also inhibit KRAS G12C, such as the MRTX compound. There's an LY compound and a J&J compound. None of these have names yet, even though the AMG-510 drug is proposed to have the name sotorasib. The last thing I'll mention is that the way these direct inhibitors work is that they capitalize on the fact that the mutant protein shuttles between active and inactive conformations or on and off states. And so these drugs lock KRAS G12C in the inactive conformation and keep it in that conformation, thereby preventing downstream signaling and ongoing oncogenesis mediated by that.
So of course, in 2019, the FDA granted AMG-510 a fast track designation for patients with previously treated metastatic non-small cell lung cancer who harbor these KRAS G12C mutations. The designation was based on the phase 1 trial data. What are your thoughts on the drug's activity and safety, of course, in patients with non-small cell lung cancer?
The drug's activity was certainly unprecedented as KRAS goes. For AMG-510, we saw a response rate approach 50%, and that's coming close to what we see with other targeted therapies for other driver-positive cancers. And what we'll need to see long-term would be, of course, the durability of disease control. But the fact that we're seeing many patients with KRAS G12C mutant lung cancers have disease regression with a single agent is really very encouraging, and I'm not surprised that it was granted fast-track designation. I think what we need to see beyond the durability would be the long-term safety of the compound, but the upfront safety profile is very encouraging, and I think speaks to the fact that the drug is amenable to long-term or chronic administration in patients when it works very well. Now, beyond single-agent therapy, we're going to also need to look at the utility of combination therapies, knowing that we may boost the activity that we're seeing with AMG-510 monotherapy or monotherapy with these other direct KRAS G12C inhibitors. And there are these new trials that are capitalizing on adding a second drug that may inhibit downstream signaling, such as MEK, or other receptor tyrosine kinases, such as EGFR, which these cancers might rely on. Or things like SHP2, which is an adapter protein. And we don't yet have any publicly announced data from those programs, but the hope is that they take the field one step further and improve on the activity we've seen with these single agents. Of course, that begs the question, what will the safety profile look like with these combination therapies? But we'll see as this data emerges.
And of course, AMG-510 is not just being explored in non-small cell lung cancer, it's being explored in a variety of KRAS G12C mutant solid tumors. And I believe we saw data in other cohorts at this year's ASCO, correct?
We have. KRAS G12C mutations are also found across a variety of other cancers, in particular gastrointestinal cancers like colorectal carcinoma. What we've seen, however, is that the number of responses with these gastrointestinal tumors is much lower compared to non-small cell lung cancers with KRAS G12C. And that speaks to the fact that we are seeing lineage-specific or context-specific differences in the activity of the drug. And this, again, is where we might look to combination therapy, which may abrogate some of these primary resistance mechanisms that colorectal tumors might harbor. And if you give two agents together, you may actually induce responses not seen with monotherapy.
So of course, a phase 2 trial in non-small cell lung cancer is on track for readout later this year. And we have the randomized global phase 3 CodeBreaK 200 confirmatory trial that's been launched. What is your expectation for these trials?
I look forward to the results of the phase 2 trial. Obviously, that would be single arm data that will give us an idea of activity and safety in a larger number of patients with KRAS G12C mutant lung cancers. The subsequent phase 3 CodeBreaK 200 trial is going to look at randomizing patients with KRAS G12C mutant lung cancers either to monotherapy with AMG-510 or to standard of care docetaxel, which is given in the second line setting. And the hope, of course, is that it beats the activity seen with docetaxel and has a good enough safety profile. And this undoubtedly will help regulatory agencies consider the approval of this very exciting compound for patients with this mutation.
Pending further positive study with this compound, what could be the reach of this agent? I mean, what is the prevalence of these KRAS G12C mutations in lung cancer?
KRAS G12C mutations are actually much more common than other driver oncogenes. If you consider ALK fusions that are found in up to 4% of cases, ROS1 in up to 1 to 2% of cases, if you look at the slice of G12C, this might encompass anywhere from 10 to 15% of patients. So it's a much more sizable chunk, and that could translate to thousands of patients given the global incidence of lung cancer. And I think that the approval of a drug like this would be highly meaningful, particularly since we've really been pushing to develop a good and active agent for this molecular subtype for a long time. So seeing one of these drugs cross the finish line would be very fulfilling for the field.
Great. Well, we'll look forward to those data. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today, Dr. Drillin.
You're very welcome.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this special episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for recaps from our State of the Science summits and exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.